How much of your life just runs on autopilot? How much our lives are just shaped and formed by habits? I mean, the first thing we reach for every morning, maybe it's your alarm clock, or maybe it's just your other go-to, the voices that we listen to throughout the day, whether we're walking or driving, the pace of life that we keep, the things that we just scroll past, the conversations that play on repeat in our head that we live with and tell us who we are. Most of us think we're just living our lives, but something deeper is happening all the time. Our habits are shaping us. And in this fast-paced, frenzied, distracted, hurried world like the one we live in, formation is happening faster than we realize without us even realizing it or not. You are being formed right now, every day, by the things we give our attention to, whether that is social media or TV screen, the pace of life, the relationships, people that we hang out, good, bad, or indifferent. The question is not, are you being formed? The question is, who or what is forming you? And many of us experience this all the time and don't have a language for it. But there have been seasons that we know we're becoming more patient, more attentive to God, more aware of the need that is around us. And there are also seasons where we feel ourselves just becoming more anxious and heavy, distracted and hurried. Something is shaping us. And the Apostle Paul speaks to that in Romans chapter 12. And what Stuart read just a while ago is the clearest passage in the New Testament about formation. But it comes at the end of something. 11 other chapters that precede Romans 12. For 11 chapters, Paul has been explaining the gospel, what God has done for us in Christ. And in Romans 1 through 11, we see over and over Paul talking about humanity is broken by sin. Christ died for sinners. And through faith, we are reconciled to God and to each other. And then Paul hits chapter 12, and there's one word that changes everything. The first word of chapter 12, therefore, in light of everything God has done, now comes the life that flows from it. He's about to get practical. Paul writes in verse 1, therefore, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that seems paradoxical because a sacrifice is surely something that is dead, sacrificed on the altar. Living sacrifices. We know that it is the presence of Christ alive inside of us, almost as if he is walking around in our shoes, living his life out in all the places that we go. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is not about dying. It is about living differently. Your body means your whole life. Our time, our habits, our attention, our relationships. Paul says, this is true worship, offering these things to the Lord. Not just what happens 1 hour every week, and this is important, probably the most important discipline we give ourselves to, but true worship is how we live our lives. Worship is all of life. And then Paul says something incredibly important in verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are two forces shaping every one of us, every human life. One is external. The other is internal. One is marked by me, myself, and I, my own selfish will, what I want to do, I'm going to get mine. And the other is marked by surrender. One is our active conforming to the world and its influence. And the other is our passive receipt of this gift of transformation. It's what we call, we are restful We can't earn it. We just receive this gift of rest, of salvation, of transformation. And the beauty of all this, it is possible to know God's will, to test and approve God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that has everything to do with who is shaping you, what is forming you. The word Paul uses for conform means being pressed into a mold, like the hands that are forming the clay. And yes, we are clay in the hands of our God. He's shaping us, but he's talking about the external forces that we lean into, the stuff of the world that shapes us and affects us, like clay being shaped by whatever surrounds it. But the word transformed, be transformed, describes something changing from the inside out. God at work on the inside. The world works from the outside in. God works from the inside out. And this world that we live is really good at shaping us, at affecting us, at influencing us. And seemingly most of the time, we don't even realize it. But what's worse, this has crept its way into the church. I'm talking about big monuments that we've raised and professional pastors, business enterprises. If you build it, they will come. Not always. We idolize people and pews and dollars and plates in the name of church growth and evangelism, but let's stop fooling ourselves. We curate our favorite pastors, listen to content whenever we want, whoever we want, multiple whoevers, and we forget the importance of in-person gathering. We're the body of Christ, and our favorite content can be streamed, and we just scroll through the reels on Instagram being discipled by algorithm. I know you. Let me push the content in front of you. We are being formed by consumerism, by isolation, distraction, hurry and scurry and self-focus. And none of these things announce themselves as spiritual threats. But slowly, over time, they shape the kind of people we become and all manner of things find its way into our faith that shouldn't be there in the first place. The danger is not that the world will attack our faith. The danger is that it is shaping our lives and the practices we keep. So how does all this really happen? Being transformed. How does transformation actually happen? I want to suggest that our Christian life and faith has three connected parts: practices, formation, mission. The Christian life has three connected parts. What we practice shapes who we are becoming, and who we become determines how we live our lives out in the world. Or another way to say it, the practices of Jesus form the people of Jesus for the mission of Jesus. That's how we experience transformation. The practices of Jesus form the people of Jesus for the mission of Jesus. John Mark Comer would say, being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus did in the world, that's the goal. It's what we are giving ourselves to. And over the next several weeks, we're going to explore practices that the church Christians have given themselves to for centuries. Practices like scripture, prayer, fasting, listening to God. These are things the church has given themselves to over time, and not because the practices themselves are the goal, but because these practices shape the kind of people we are becoming. Scripture shapes imagination. Prayer shapes our attention. Fasting shapes our desire. Listening shapes our obedience. And that leads to mission, which is the fruit. The goal of all of this spiritual formation is not spiritual formation for its own sake. The goal is a people being formed, ready to be sent. Otherwise, all we're talking is about is self-help, self-improvement, which is why mission is so important. Because formation without the mission is just self-improvement. So let me tell you what this looks like in story form. John Tyson is the pastor of City Church in New York City, and years ago moved his family from Manhattan to Washington Heights, a neighborhood near the Bronx. It's a primarily Dominican neighborhood, about 80%. Tyson is not Dominican. He is from Australia. His wife is Caucasian from the United States. Their children are white. And when his daughter was younger, she was taking ballet lessons at this bougie little ballet school on the Upper West Side. And Tyson says she was all girl from day one. We're talking pink frills and just petite. One of his earliest memories of her is she's just learning how to walk. And she comes walking into the room wearing her mother's high heels, face made up, carrying her purse, and she is just strutting about. And he says, you can't teach that. It is just in her. And when they moved to Washington Heights, ballet was not a thing. Taekwondo was a thing. Everybody was doing Taekwondo, and so they're trying to crack the missional code, and they start doing Taekwondo, got the kids enrolled. They became a Taekwondo family. And in Taekwondo, there are these things called forms, structured movements that you learn with the group. And you practice these movements again and again. And his daughter was getting her ballet fix on through learning these forms, talking immediate resonance, immediate engagement, totally into it. Her brother's living his best Karate Kid life, childhood dream, and she's better than him at all of this Taekwondo. They had their white belts. They're learning these forms, practicing these movements together, she and her brother. And then it came time to put the gloves on and start sparring, and the kids out on the mat are just wailing themselves. And there's this sheer panic and horror that came over John Tyson's little girl. And he tries to encourage her that we can do hard things. And she goes out onto the mat and gets hit in the face and runs back crying to daddy, who gets down on her level and says, baby, this is why we've been learning everything we've been learning. It's not ballet. It's self-defense. These forms that you're giving yourself to, you are being formed for the fight. And there was something inside of this little girl that ignited because it made sense to her. And she went back onto the mat with courage. And she owned the competition. I mean, she was good. And the instructor stopped everybody and said, everybody, look at Haley and watch what she is doing. She is doing a ballet of violence. A ballet of violence. In that moment, it clicked that all of the forms, all of the practice, all of that training was preparing her for the fight. She gave herself to it and went to competition and won and even earned her black belt. John Tyson says, there is such an obsession right now in our day and time with spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines and following Jesus. We're all fasting and doing these practices of Jesus, and quite often we forget that the point of following Jesus is not simply doing the practices of Jesus. The point of doing the practices of Jesus is to make you effective in fighting for the mission, fighting the kingdoms of this world, the darkness therein. We are being formed for the mission, training for the fight. Sometimes things go wrong in our lives and we think, what is happening? When maybe the better question is, why do you think you've been training all this time? Positioning ourselves for the present moment to take whatever comes our way. Positioning ourselves to lead out, and however God might be positioning us to lead. Jesus does not simply form us to become a separate little religious community, hunkered down, enjoying life together. We've got our insider language, doing those things that he told us to do. And these things are not wrong in and of themselves. But when we keep them right here, we're just missing out on what he's called us to, because these things are radically insufficient on their own. If that had been Jesus' vision, he would have withdrawn in isolation and taught his disciples to do the same. Instead, Jesus preached, and he healed, and he cast out demons, and ultimately he was crucified, dead, buried. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And when the time was right, he poured out his Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who realized their need. Repent and receive this gift of God's presence. He went from being just one person on the outside of 11 bumbling disciples, 12, they replaced Judas, who got it wrong repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And when they received his life inside of them, everything changed. No one's going to give their life for a lunatic. They gave their lives because they had been formed for the mission, for the point in time at which and when they went, lived, moved, had their being. And Jesus is the one who went ahead of them, meeting them, and the fruitful participation that they experienced themselves. The point of formation is not just spiritual contentedness, stuntedness, or growth. You are being formed. And you are being formed for the mission. I kid you not. This week, Marty Wonsiewicz went somewhere that I did not go. Tomorrow morning, Will Abels is entering a school, and I don't go to that school. All of us position somewhere on purpose, and it's not just to learn, and it's not just to earn, it's not just to save for retirement. We're there for faithful and fruitful participation, everyone who claims the name Jesus. So I want to give us some time for reflection, for us to take a moment and think about the habits that are forming our lives. Seemingly, we don't even realize it. The things we pay attention to and scroll and the company we keep. Who or what is shaping you? Lord, we want to get this right. So I pray that you would bless us over these next few weeks, and not just for blessing's sake. God, I pray that you would raise up leaders, disciples, lovers of your name, Jesus, who are positioned, being formed for the mission that is in front of us. God, have mercy on us all and show us, Lord, remind us who we are in Christ. and with each other. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.